Just raise your hand so our ushers can get you a card. We just want to recognize you and give them a hand clap of welcome this morning. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. We're blessed, and we just invite you all to just join in for what God has got for you today. Guys, the presence has already been strong in this place, and he's not through. Amen?
Amen.
Ashley, he's just getting ready, just beginning. Amen? So be ready to receive from him. And before I turn it over to Pastor this morning, I just want to speak a word of blessing over you. So be ready to receive your blessing today. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I declare over you today that God's blessings are over your life. I declare you will see an explosion of God's goodness, a sudden widespread increase. You will experience the surpassing greatness of God's favor. It will elevate you to a level higher than you ever dreamed of. Explosive blessings are coming your way. I declare you will experience God's faithfulness like never before. You will give birth to every promise God has put in your heart, and you will become everything God has created you to be. I declare your life is marked for excellence and for integrity. God is directing your steps. He works every situation and every circumstance for your good. God has the solution for every problem that you will ever face. I declare unexpected blessings are coming to you. God's abundance surrounds you. You have more than enough. God opens doors for you that no man can shut. God is adding exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond favor and increase in your life in every way in Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap
Amen.
Of praise
Amen.
This morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
God has got good things in store for his people.
Praise
and
God.
And I received that word
Amen.
About the shift. There's a shift,
amen. Amen.
So expect a shift in
yes.
your circumstances.
Yes.
Expect a shift in your finances.
Yes.
Expect a shift in your family situation.
Yes.
Expect a shift in your health.
Yes.
You receive it this morning, amen.
Yes.
I turn it over to Pastor.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Just a couple of quick things before we get into the Word. I want to meet with the men of the church. Again, this Sunday, we met a couple of weeks ago, and I know we talked about some things, and we want to rehash those out today. So any of the men here, you're welcome to come back there with us in the coffee shop as soon as the service is over. We will need your help. Amen. And also want to remind you that in 2 weeks from today, February the 16th, Teen Challenge is coming. So they'll be here that Sunday morning, and we would love for them to, you know, have a lot of people to minister to. So we would like for you to ask your friends and relatives and maybe post it on Facebook or your social media accounts and let people know that they'll be here February the 16th at 10:30 in the morning. All righty. Well, it is neighbor looking time, and we're going to look at our neighbor this morning. We're going to smile at our neighbor. We're going to point at our neighbor, and we're going to say, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare I'll never ever
be the same again
in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Ask you to just bow your heads. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service this day. Father, I thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. I thank you, Father, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we see your word in a new light today. We hear it in a new way. It sinks down into our spirit man, and it's a part of us. From this day forward, we carry this revelation knowledge of your word this day with us as we leave this place. And we thank you for it. Holy Spirit, preach through us, teach through us. Help us to say exactly what we should say today and leave off anything we need to leave off. Help us to flow with you this day, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Ask, if you will, to get your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel 17.
Amen.
Now, I'm actually going to paraphrase most of this, but I'm going to let y'all follow where I'm at. But I'm going to paraphrase almost this whole thing because there's a lot of scriptures in here. And I've got a lot of ground to cover today, me and Pastor Sharon both. Okay, this is the story about how it starts in 1 Samuel 17. I'm in the Message, actually. The Philistines and the Israelites were drawing up for a battle. And they're on opposing hills, and there's a valley between them. And there's a giant that you know about. His name is Goliath. And he's standing out in the open. And he's cursing the Israelite children. He's cursing them every day for 40 days, twice a day. He's getting up there and he's cursing. He said, "Bring me out a man and let me fight the man that you pick. And if he wins, we'll be your servant. If I win, you'll be our servants." And he's cursing them every day for 40 days. Every day for 40 days, twice a day. And then David is in this picture. And we know about David eventually killing Goliath. But we know that David's father and David's three oldest brothers were sent to this battle. And so David's father one day says to him in verse 17 through 19, "One day Jesse told David his son, 'Take the sack of cracked wheat and these 10 loaves of bread and run them down to your brothers in the camp. And take these 10 wedges of cheese to the captain of their division. Check in on your brothers to see whether they're getting along all right and let me know how they're doing. Saul and all your brothers and all the Israelites in their war with the Philistines in the Oak Valley.'" It said, check everything, see how it's going. So in the next verses, it says David was up at the crack of dawn and he arranged for somebody to care for the sheep and he went to the battle. And skipping on down to verse number 26, David was talking to the men. Now while David is there, the giant appears or whatever and he's mocking the people of God like always. And David is like, now David is a, Bible scholars tell us that he was ruddy. He was like, he was red-faced. His cheeks were very red and rosy. And that he was a young person. A lot of times when I used to hear this story, I was thinking he was an older man. He was about 17 years old to 15, 16, 17. He was a youth. He was a teenager. And he's hearing Goliath mock the people of God. And David is saying, now they're scared. The people of God are just scared. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would dare mock the people of God?" And now let me tell you what he's saying, uncircumcised Philistine. He said, "Who is this man without a covenant? I've got a supernatural covenant. All of Israel has a supernatural covenant. That covenant not only covers, provision and all this, but it covers protection. We're protected by the blood, by the covenant. Psalms 91 at that time was their covenant. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand." David knew his covenant. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He doesn't even have a covenant. What's he doing mouthing off about our God? I dare him. What is he doing? What? He's trash talking him." And so David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" And then David starts asking questions. Verse number 26. David, who was talking to the men standing around him, asked, "What is in it for the man who kills the Philistine and gets rid of this ugly blot on Israel's honor? Who does he think he is anyway, the uncircumcised Philistine, taunting the armies of God alive?" They told him what everybody was saying and what the king would do for the man who killed the Philistine. The king had made a decree that he would marry his daughter. There'd be a royal wedding. The king told him that there would be riches and honor in his house. He would be a person of great wealth, whoever killed, Goliath. And also that there would be tax redemption. He would never have to pay taxes. All the longest day he lived, he was tax-free, tax-exempt for the rest of his life. That's pretty good. That make you want to throw some stones. You know what I'm talking about? So they told him what everybody was saying and what the king would do for the man who killed the Philistine. Eliab, this is David's oldest brother, heard David fraternizing with the men and he lost his temper. "What are you doing here? Why aren't you minding your own business, tending that scrawny flock of sheep? I know what you're up to. You've come down here to see the sights and hoping for a ringside seat at a bloody battle." David says, "What's up with you?" replied David. "All I did was ask a question." Ignoring his brother. We'll get back to that in a minute. The devil was using David's brother to try his best to get David offended. David's brother was talking down to David, being condescending. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I hate it. That is one of my pet peeves. I don't want to preach it, but I hate it. I hate it when people talk condescending. Because they act like, oh, I have so much more knowledge than you. I'm so much superior to you. I got news for you. Everybody's stupid in something. I mean it. Nobody knows everything. Nobody knows everything. You might be a rocket scientist, but you're stupid on how to fix this in your house, or you're stupid on common sense on how to do this. You still got areas in your life, no matter how smart you think you are, you got it going on, but you're still stupid in other areas. So don't ever talk down to somebody else. Thank you very much. He was accusing David. Why aren't you minding your own business? Tending those scrawny flock of sheep. I know what you're up to. One translation says, I'm your brother and I know you. You're arrogant and your heart is evil. You just came to watch the battle as if it's just entertainment. That was another translation. That's all lies. His father had asked him to come and to bring food and to check on his brothers and find out, we saw that in the scriptures, how the battle was going. But this lying thing that his brother's doing, this condescending talk, that reminds me of somebody. Who is it? Who is it? Oh, it's the devil. The accuser of the brethren, the father of all lies. Why was the devil, the accuser of the brethren, the father of all lies, lying about David and trying to get him offended and into strife? Because David is about to fight the biggest battle of his life. And he is about to have the biggest breakthrough of his entire life. Are you on the edge of your greatest breakthrough? Are you fixing to get the biggest financial blessing you've ever got? Are you fixing to get the biggest relationship blessing you've ever got? Are you fixing to get the biggest thing from the glory of God being revealed in your life that you've ever got? I'm telling you, the enemy knows it, and he's going to try to deceive you and me before that blessing to try to get us into strife, to get us into division, to get us into offense by somebody. When he's working at you the hardest, look out. It's mighty close. It's mighty close. He's working at you like night and day. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's mighty close. It's mighty close. My breakthrough, you might not see it, but I see it in the Spirit, because I know if he's messing with me in the Spirit and he's turning up the heat, then I know God's fixing to change this thing, and God's fixing to rain glory everywhere I look. It's fixing to break loose for the glory of God in every direction. Every direction. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're fixing to have the biggest victory you've ever had in your life. The biggest breakthrough you've ever had in your life. That's what God's getting you ready for. Somebody's in your face. They're saying they are trying to offend you. They're trying to talk down to you. No, no, no. I see this. I see the devil behind them. I know what this is about. I'm not going to lose my blessing. I'm going to ignore them. I'm not going to pay attention to that. I'm not going to talk about it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! We got some people in here ready for the breakthrough. We got some people in here. You on the edge of it. You on the edge of it. If we would learn to ignore offenses, we would experience more breakthroughs. How many times has offense cheated us out of our breakthrough? I know it has me. We know David killed Goliath. He was rewarded with those riches and honor, a royal wedding, tax-exempt status for life. The Greek word for offend in Luke 17 and 1 comes from the word scandalon. The word originally referred to the part of a trap where the bait was attached. So David didn't take the bait of offense. The trap was set, but he ignored it and he got his breakthrough. Now, let's do, I'm going to call this first things first, but let's settle something in here. Let's make sure we're all in the same boat. Raise your hands if you have ever been offended about anything. Let's see. I believe it's everybody. Now, that's all of us. Now raise your hands if you've ever offended somebody else. I believe that's everybody. If it ain't, you're lying like a dog. Because just like we've been offended, we have offended. Now, the phrase that I want us to take away today is don't be deceived by a spirit of offense. When it comes to you, I want you and I want me. I want pastor's eyes open when that offense tries to get in my face. I want it to realize it's trying to steal my breakthrough. I want my eyes open spiritually so I can see it. Because the enemy wants me offended, so I'll miss out on my breakthrough. God may have a plan for you to become president of a company, maybe the company that you work for. But if the enemy can get you to quit because of offense, then God's plans won't come to pass the way He wants, even though it's God's will. A lot of people say, well, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. That's not true. God has a will for a lot of things, that good things to happen in our lives, and they never happen because we have free will and we get off course with free will. Thank you very much. That was good preaching. You almost missed it. So just because it's God's will doesn't mean it's automatic because of our free will. Offense, I want everybody to say this. Offense is a deception from the enemy. Offense is a deception from the enemy. And now I'm going to tell you the reason. It's to pull us out of the places in our life and the people in our life that we are called to. Offense separates us. If you get offended at your spouse, the devil has an inroad, a way in to cause problems in your marriage. The enemy's plan is to divide you from your spouse. Your united front in marriage, he wants to break it. Stop the enemy's plan to steal, kill, and destroy when we have that united front. The enemy is all about getting us offended and then pulling us away from people and places that we're called to. It's a deception. It weakens us. If the enemy is a musician, he's using a sleight of hand. We're stronger together. In the church that God has called you to, the enemy is afraid that you'll see what he's doing. He's trying to get you offended at somebody sitting right next to you. He's trying to pull you away from the body of believers to isolate you. Just two believers together have great power. Just two believers in agreement can change things. What about a whole body of believers? If one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000, what will the whole body do? Woo! There's great power in unity and harmony, but offense and division drains the power. So the enemy, he knows this, and he tries to get people to cross our path to offend us so they'll move us out of God's will for our life. And I'm going to give you a little story. I'm getting close to calling Pastor Sharon up. When we first started the church in the storefront on 14th Street, I used a music stand similar to one of these we have up here as my pulpit. And the reason I did that is, one, we were just starting out and we're buying everything and we're buying it from scratch. We're buying all the chairs and the decorating, everything that we're doing from scratch. We only had limited funds. But I knew what I wanted one day. One day my vision was to have a plexiglass pulpit. That's what I wanted. But I knew one day is not always today. And I knew I was waiting for it. Well, we had several people in the church that could build pulpits. And I had got a couple of offers of people that wanted to build me a pulpit. And I said, no, I just don't want one at this time. I'm going to use the music stand. And so we had an older couple that came. And they had just started coming and were enjoying it and everything. And then they hadn't been there just a few weeks, and he didn't ask anything about the pulpit or anything, but he built one, and it was very nice, and he did it for the Lord. He built it, and he put it on the back of his truck. He pulled up, and we saw it, and we were just shocked. He had done this, and it was a wonderful gesture, and so we graciously accepted it. We didn't mention the other man or the other people that we had, told, no, I really don't want one right now. I'm waiting for this, because I didn't want to, that's ungrateful. And I said, well, we're going to be waiting for a while. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. And it was beautiful. Well, when the other man, who's an older gentleman, he came in and he saw the new pulpit that had been built. And he immediately was hurt by it. It offended him. It offended him deeply. And he's probably thinking, I'm assuming this, he's thinking, we wanted the other guy to build it instead of him. Somehow we preferred the other man above him, so that's the reason we wanted the pulpit. He was assuming all wrong. I really didn't want anyone to build one at that time. I was waiting on this one. But so it wound up, he got offended, and they wound up being pulled out. The enemy pulled him out over a pulpit. Now, I can't imagine standing before the Lord one day and saying, okay, I called you to such and such a church, and explaining why, you know, what so the things that you were called to do this and this and this and this, but I see here you didn't do them. Why didn't you do them? But I left the church. But this is not what this is saying. This is saying I've called you to do this, 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 and it was in this work that I called you to. You left it. Why? Because somebody else built the pulpit, and you didn't build it. Let that one resonate for a minute. If a pulpit can cause offense, sweet potatoes can cause offense. My sweet potatoes. You know. Pastor and them was eating my sweet potatoes. They didn't eat your sweet potatoes because they knew that was a bunch of junk right there. Well, if a pulpit can do it and sweet potatoes can do it, anything can do it. You understand? But we're missing it. We're missing the big picture that the enemy's using those things to pull us out of things that God has called us to. And I'm not speaking to just the church, your job, your marriage, things that God has called you to. He wants you offended to get you away from those things. And some people in the body of Christ have passed the offense test. But here's the thing. That's not like a test that's only going to happen one time. You're probably going to have a reason. You can probably be offended before you leave this parking lot today. You know, somebody is going to cut you off trying to get out there before. It might be me and Pastor Sharon. We're going to cut you off before you can get out the door really good. Well, who does he think he is? How dare he do that? I will never come back to that place. Just open your eyes and realize Pastor was being crazy in the way he was driving. Let's give him a little grace, and let's not be offended about it. See, so the enemy is baiting a trap for us to get offended. That one man took the bait and he got offended, and he allowed it to move him away from God's will for his life at that point. That's just what the enemy wanted. We've all done that more than once. Let me give you a scripture. You can turn over to Pastor Sharon. Colossians 3:13, New Living. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. A couple of quick closing thoughts. Some people are naturally offensive. Don't look at your neighbor at this point. Some people are naturally offensive and they have a gift of offending others with their words and actions. But as we mature in our walk with God, we should grow to the place that things and people offend us less and less. We must recognize that offenses are the devil's deception in our lives and let it go. Glory to God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as most of you know, Pastor and I are doing the tag team right now until the Lord changes that. And if the Lord changes that. Okay? All right. So I'll be repeating some of what Pastor just said. And some of this is going into a little bit different direction of offense. So I'll be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition in most of my scriptures. Acts 1 and 8 says, "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth." So we have been given dunamis power. The Greek word dunamis refers to strength, power, and ability. So we've been given this power, and the root word of this in the English language is dynamite, dynamo, and dynamic. The dunamis power that we have comes from God. It comes from above, from the Lord. And we all know that what the thief has come to do. The enemy, in John 10:10, says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So God wants us to have life to the full. But the enemy is threatened by that. You know, he doesn't want us to have life to the full. So, you know, he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So we need to recognize, as Pastor said, you know, offense is a tactic of the enemy that comes against us, that the enemy uses against us. So we want to be aware. We want to recognize. We want to acknowledge and know what is really behind the offense. See, the enemy uses people. And so the offense will come through a person, but the root of that offense is the enemy. Right. And the enemy is after your power. He's after your prayer life. Right. Because prayer changes things. Amen? There is power in prayer. And 1 Peter 3:16 says, "And see to it that your conscience is entirely clear or unimpaired. So that when you are falsely accused as evildoers, those who have threatened you abusively and revile you, your right behavior in Christ may come to be ashamed of slandering your good life." So the enemy wants to slander your good life. He wants to wreck your witness, see? And he tries that offense, that tactic of offense to come against you to try to take that dunamis power that God has given you away from you. Amen? So the thief, our enemy, wants to cripple our conscience to get our focus over on the offense, to distract us from what our calling is, to distract us from our prayer life, amen, to distract us from that dunamis power that God has put on the inside of us. So with offense, so we won't operate in the full power and the full dunamis power that God has given us. Amen. He wants to impair. He uses offense to impair that power that God has put on the inside of us. So when offense comes, we need to recognize it for what it is. Recognize it for what it is. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And the way that we can overcome offense, now I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm saying what the Word says. The way to overcome offense is to forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Don't hold on to it. Don't rehearse it. Don't let it rehearse it over and over in your mind. Don't go to other people and tell them about the offense. Amen. And just keep it stirred up on the inside of you. Don't dwell on it. Don't let it fester. Get rid of it quickly. And that is by forgiveness. Forgive quickly. Amen. Recognize the source. Recognize the root of that offense. Mark 11:25 says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop." So we've all got shortcomings. We've all got failings. Amen. As Pastor asked, you know, has anybody in here ever been offended? Has anybody in here ever offended someone else? And we all have. Amen. We're all guilty. So, but you know, have you ever felt like it's not fair that you're supposed to forgive the person that has offended you. That just isn't right, God. You know, I need to just dwell on this thing, and I need to get just, you know, beat it to death in my thought life. Amen. So, but you know, I have found out that the best way to overcome those things is to forgive. You know, because it frees me up. It frees me from that thing that wants to just take over my thought life, wants to take over my feelings. Amen. So when I give it to God quickly, then I'm allowing God to handle the situation. Because when Sharon tries to handle something, she messes it up. When she tries to handle something, she makes it worse. And you know it's the truth, isn't it? Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and 14, he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, but that is no concern of mine. Paul knew just to let that thing go, amen? It wasn't his concern, but whose concern was it? And he says, for the Lord will repay him according to his actions. So the Lord knows what's going on. He knows when the enemy comes against you. He knows when the enemy is using offense against you. So we need to be like Paul. We just need to, it's not my concern. Amen? And let God handle it. Matthew 18 and 7 says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offense come. In other words, the offenses are going to come. They're going to happen. You know, there's just no other thing. It's just going to happen. So, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Amen. So I'm giving this offense to God, and God has it. Amen. So I don't have to get myself, my feelings, my emotions, my thoughts all stirred up in this offense. God, I forgive this person, and guess what? I'm doing it by faith. See, we have to do it by faith because our feelings don't feel it. Amen. Our thoughts aren't thinking, you know, God bless this person. God, just give them so many blessings. Just pour out your blessings on. No, we're not thinking that at the time. We won't go to where we're thinking, amen? So forgive quickly and let God handle it. Praise God. So recognize the offense as the tactic of the enemy to restrict your power, amen, to impair your power, to cripple your power that God's given you so that it won't operate to its full. God wants to give us the fullness, amen? Not just a little bit here and there, but the fullness. Some of you, now this morning, your eyes have been open to what the enemy has been trying to do to you through offense. You've gotten some revelation this morning, amen? Hallelujah. Your prayer life is about to explode. It's going to go to another level, amen? You're just going to let go of that offense and let God have it and let God take care of it. And you're going to just see that your prayer life's going to take off, amen? That dunamis power on the inside of you is going to be operating in a higher place, a higher level, because you've let go of that offense, amen? You're going to operate more in that dunamis power. You're going to do more damage to the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. The limits are off now. See, the enemy wanted to limit your prayer life. He wanted to fill your mind and your thoughts and your heart with all this offense, but the limits are off. The enemy has been found out. Amen. So he's running around toothless this morning. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So your prayer life is about to go through the roof. Glory to God. So get ready. Get ready for what God's going to do. See, Wanda, when she ministered Wednesday night, Patty brought out about that Wednesday night service. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Wanda said, get ready. It's get ready time. Amen. It is get ready time. So church, let's get ready. Let's get ready for what God has got for your life. Amen. Get ready this morning for the manifestation of the things that you've been praying about, the manifestation of things that you've been believing God for. See, the enemy wanted you to get so discouraged, so wound up in the offense that you didn't even have the vision anymore of what God has for your life. Amen. But the limits are off now. Amen. The deception is open now. And you're free from it today. Everybody say, today. I'm free from offense today. Amen. Get ready for a turnaround in your finances. Glory to God. Get ready for your loved ones that you've been praying for to come to God. Amen. Get ready. The word was to get ready, so we're getting ready this morning. Amen. Get ready to move into the new sanctuary. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get ready for the next move of God. Glory to God. He has some transformations in mind for you. Transformations, amen, a dramatic change in your present circumstances. Glory to God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Hallelujah. You ready to walk in that dunamis power this morning? God has not changed his mind. He hasn't said, well, you know, they've been offended, so now I'm not going to, I don't have my plan to work in their lives in a powerful way. That's not what God is thinking. God is thinking, the enemy has messed with my child. Hallelujah. So now that dunamis power is going to be fuller than it was before when we give it to God. Hallelujah. So Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your people this morning. I decree and declare that every offense is dropped. I declare they give it to you this morning. The enemy is a liar and the father of lies. So that offense, I'm giving it to you, God. And now, Father God, I want to operate in the fullness of that dunamis power that you put on the inside of me. So I give it to you. I let it go. I drop it. And Father, I give you the praise and you the honor and you the glory for what you're about to do in my life. Father, I get ready right now in Jesus' name. Give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 I'm so thankful this morning for God's power. So thankful for that dunamis power in my life. So thankful for that dunamis power in your life this morning. Amen. What the enemy has meant for harm, God is turning around for your good. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can we just pray in the Spirit for a minute? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, have your way in this service, Father. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. I feel like there's people this morning that need prayer. You need hands laid on you. And Pastor and I want to pray for you this morning if that's you. And release that dunamis power. Amen. Hallelujah. God's got good things in store for you. So I'm opening up the altar to you this morning. Just inviting you to come up. And Pastor and I will agree in prayer with you today. Don't allow the enemy to try to hold you back, to try to tell you, that's not for me. But God is saying, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Amen. Praise God. Just be in an attitude of prayer this morning. There's people that's come this morning with some great needs. But how many of you know that our God is greater? He's greater than everything that's going on in your life. He's greater than every need that you have. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah.